Well, in Airflow 3, we are not talking about having async function within your Python operator. We are really saying that now you can put async next to your Python operator. Okay, so it's actually the task, the Airflow task, that becomes asynchronous.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering Airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis. And today I'm joined by our other host, Mark Lamberti. Mark, how are you?
Super excited to be in this episode.
Yeah.
A lot to talk about.
Yes, we do have a lot to talk about. Well, listeners, you get both of our hosts today because we have a special episode to talk about what is new in the Airflow 3.2 release, which I think as of publishing, the release probably should have come out in the last week or so, depending. And yeah, we're excited to dive into it. Airflow minor releases happen every, 3 to 6 months or so, and they always bring a lot of updates for the project. So we want to make sure that everybody is aware of what's new in this one. So with that, Mark, I guess before we dive into any specifics, I think this Airflow 3.2 in my mind is still notable because it's continuing along with the momentum of Airflow 3, of course, which was the new major release about a year ago, a huge milestone for the project. And we hope that everybody is already using Airflow 3 or at least aware of what's in it and working towards upgrading. But maybe for those who have not upgraded yet, we can spend a minute talking about, why the major release last year, why it came out in the first place, and why it was important for the project.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, definitely Airflow 3 was a huge release. I mean, I don't even remember when Airflow 2 was released, but it was a few years ago for sure.
2020, December of 2020, at the very end of the year. I do remember very clearly.
So 4 years later, you actually get a new Airflow release. So yeah, no, Airflow 3... was huge for many reasons. I think the first one is definitely the architecture, all the changes. So basically now you have, your components, like the workers actually do not communicate with your metadatabase directly anymore. And this is important for a few reasons, but one is that now you can have your Airflow instance running in one cluster and then your workers running in another cluster, like somewhere else, completely separated from your Airflow instance. And so this is great for security reasons, compliance reasons and so on. So that gives a lot of flexibility. Also, you have this API server, which is, still like it serves the user interface, but also it's actually the interface between the workers and the rest of your Airflow instance. So you have those new architectural choices that are major. And then the second one is DAG versioning. I think DAG versioning was huge. I mean, I remember how many times I got people asking about DAG versioning, like when it's going to be released. That was almost like a running joke at some point. But now we finally have DAG versioning in Airflow 3 and also the backfilling mechanism. Now you can backfill your DAGs directly from the Airflow UI. If you remember in Airflow 2, you had to use the Airflow CLI and it was a little bit clunky. But now with Airflow 3, the backfilling process is actually really part of the scheduler, and you can run it from the Airflow UI. You don't have to go through the CLI anymore. Even you can even use the API, I believe, for running your backfill job. So a lot of good features like that, and there are many that I'm forgetting right now. But just for those, I will definitely upgrade my Airflow version to Airflow 3.
Definitely, those are very useful. And I think some of the ones we've seen with the highest adoption so far, including among our customer base. And I like that you talked about the architectural changes, because I do think that was a big reason for the major version release, and also just helping get Airflow in a spot where it can evolve more quickly to support new types of workflows that we see gaining popularity. So AI workflows, managing those with Airflow, MLOps, things like that. Also, you mentioned DAG versioning and all of the requests we got for it. I think it was always the number one requested feature in the survey and even just kind of out in the wild in our discussions with the community. So plug for filling out the survey because it's important to determine what comes in the project. I think also relevant, I hope I'm not making this up, but I think that one of the new features in 3.2, which kind of builds on some of these changes that came in Airflow 3, is asset partitions, which I think was also a very highly requested feature within some previous surveys. So maybe we can talk about that one first. I think it's one of the bigger updates to Airflow in version 3.2 and expanding on this asset and data awareness functionality that I think existed to some degree in Airflow 2, but really got a big kind of boost forward in Airflow 3. So yeah, what do you think of this feature so far?
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good point.
Just as
a quick reminder for everybody, remember that now in Airflow 3 you have the assets, which were the data sets in Airflow 2. So it's just the name that it is different. But to your point now, Airflow is becoming more and more asset aware. And part of that is the new asset partitioning mechanism that you will get in 3.2. And so, so far before 3.2, you were able to schedule your DAGs on assets. So typically you have one DAG or actually one task that produces an asset and that triggers a downstream DAG that it is scheduled on that specific asset. But it was, it was just like that asset is materialized and then it triggers the downstream DAG. But with asset partitioning, it's a little bit more granular. Actually, that adds granularity to your assets because you can attach a partition key to your asset. So what does it mean? It means that, again, let's say you have like sales data, okay? And you want to trigger a downstream DAG, not just like for the day, but like, let's say you get you have a DAG that produces an asset at 2 p.m. and then you have another DAG that produces the same asset but for different sales data on 2 p.m. as well. You can attach a partition key, like on an hourly partition key, so that like you will trigger the downstream DAGs on that hourly partition and not on the entire asset. Okay, if that makes sense. So you can clearly go through, you don't trigger your DAG on just the entire asset. You trigger your DAG on the partitions within that asset. So it can be hourly. It can be, yearly as well. You have multiple partitions like that that you can define in 3.2. And so, again, that gives a lot of flexibility that you don't have until now in 3.2. So you can have, hourly batches, daily. And actually, something that I forgot to mention, you can even have composite keys, right? So you can have, based on time, but you can also add you can have the time and then the region. Okay. So for example, if you have in your asset sales data, but in different regions like Europe, USA, and so on, you can even add that as a partition key for your asset, right? Like you can add you and then a pipe and then the time, for example.
Yeah. I think this is so exciting. And to your point about this, both helps you with scheduling your pipeline so that they're just more responsive to the data that you're actually processing. But also you can see these assets or the partition keys in the Airflow UI. So as the user, you can go in and understand which DAG run ran for actually which subset of your data without digging into the specific task. So yeah, definitely more granular, as you said.
Yeah, it's really about it's really about caring much of which slice of the asset was updated. Instead of the entire asset, you truly care about which slice of the asset was updated. And this is what asset partitioning allows you to do now.
Yeah, I think this will be huge for users because at least this was true for me when I worked as a data engineer. Maybe it was true for you too. I feel like everybody is partitioning their data in terms of how it's processed, with batch workflows. There's just always going to be some amount of looking at this sort of window, or maybe it's not by time, but by some other characteristic, like you said, region or something like that. So everybody has to do this already. And now it's just a little bit easier in Airflow.
Yeah. And you will be, I didn't try that yet, but I think you will be able to backfill your DAG still, even with asset partitioning. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you will be able.
Yeah, definitely will be helpful for maintaining item efficiency and not trying to reprocess a bunch of data that you don't need to reprocess if you do have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's very exciting. Well, I should have mentioned at the start, we'll have resources to help with adoption of all of these new features. So we'll link some of these in the show notes if anybody wants to learn how to implement them. I think over audio is not the best way for us to talk about the code implementation. So we'll leave that to some of the written content and link to it. But yeah, very excited about this next step forward for assets and data awareness in general. And it's also not the end of the story for this feature. So there's even, I think there are at least a couple of other AIPs planned for 3.3 and beyond. So Airflow is just going to get better and better with regards to that data awareness piece. Changing direction a little bit, another really big feature not related to assets and data awareness that I'm really excited about in 3.2 is the new async Python operator functionality. Have you had a chance to try this yet?
Yeah, and actually that's a really cool feature. That's a really cool feature. Like so, some of you may be a little bit like, well, I was able to use async before in Airflow 2, so what does that mean? All right. Well, in Airflow 3, we are not talking about having async function within your Python operator. We are really saying that now you can put async next to your Python operator. Okay, so it's actually the task, the Airflow task that becomes asynchronous. And you know, so before like diving into that feature, I think it's important to talk a little bit about why we have this feature in 3.2, because you can also think about deferable operators. And actually, deferable operators are super useful. So if you don't know about them, very quickly, deferable operators are useful because they don't waste resources when, for example, you have your operator that is waiting for something. Okay, so typically, if you have the Spark submit job operator, something like that, okay, you submit your Spark job and then your operator is waiting for this job to complete. While the operator is waiting, you are taking a worker slot and you have a limited number of worker slots. So typically, you have a limited number of tasks that you can run in your instance, just for simplicity. And the idea is if you use the deferable version of this operator, then you are not using a worker slot anymore and you are not wasting resources waiting for something anymore, okay? So this is more, this is great, actually. And that scales pretty well until some point, right? So typically, you know, like behind the scene, deferable operators work using triggers and the trigger. I won't dive into the details here, but if you have many, many deferable operators, that can put a little bit of pressure on your database, because remember that the data that a deferable operator returns will be stored in the Airflow meta database by default. Okay, you have no way actually to use the XCOM backend. So typically, if you use a deferable operator and you fetch a lot of data from it, then again, that can be an issue because the data will be stored in the database. Also, keep in mind that, you know, when your operator is deferred, that is like, you know, it goes through the worker and then the scheduler and then the trigger. I mean, this is a whole, that involves a round trip that it is not that long. But if you have, again, many deferable operators, it can be. So the point here is that deferable operators are great, but the async operators might be better. So the idea of the async operator is actually to solve those issues, okay? Because now you don't have to go through this round trip anymore, okay? You don't have to go through the worker first and then the scheduler and then the trigger and then the scheduler back and so on, okay? So that saves time, especially again, if you have like thousands of tasks that we're using the deferable operator. A deferable operator. And also that does not put any pressure on your database, because now with the async operator, you can actually store data, well, within a different backend. Okay, you don't have to use the Airflow meta database for that. And last but not least, keep in mind that many operators didn't have their deferred version, that their deferable, sorry, version. And so in some cases, you had to use the traditional operators. And again, with the async Python operator, now you can run asynchronous operations and you can do whatever you want because the Python operator is just Python, right? Like within the Python operator, you can do whatever you want as long as it is in Python. So you will save a lot of time. You will save a lot of resources. And just to be clear, like it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to make a single execution faster, but you will be able to have multiple executions within the same loop. Okay, so that's the idea here. You are going to use a worker using the async operator, but you will save a lot of IO operations and performances using the async operator, the async Python operator over the deferable operators. And again, this is true truly if you have a lot of deferable operators today.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
Yeah, I think that's a great description. I would add a couple of things. One is that we know from the data that we've seen and from what the community has said in previous surveys that the Python operator is by far the most used operator in Airflow. So it's great if there are, you know, specialized kind of operators for what you're doing, things like the SQL execute query operator, Fivetran operator, et cetera. But not everybody uses those. Lots of people just write their own Python function. So this is the first time that those folks have access to kind of better asynchronous functionality. I think you described really well, like, the performance issues of using a lot of deferable operators at the same time. And I think there's still definitely a place for those. Like, if you are working with a provider where, maybe I'll choose the Fivetran operator as an example, where, like, there's a very well built out provider package for the service that you're using. You have these long running jobs and you don't care about the extra overhead of, you know, the communication loop between the scheduler and the worker and the triggerer, then you can still keep using those and that functionality is still there. And it works really well for those folks. But if you've got something where it's a lot more high throughput, you want to write your own custom Python, this new async functionality will be really helpful. I think also I saw in some of the testing metrics for this feature that were thrown into some of the PRs to the open source repo that the performance improvements are pretty staggering. Like, these are taking functions that might have taken hours to run before and now take a couple minutes. So if that's what you're doing, if you're hitting, you know, a database a whole bunch of times or an API a bunch of times or downloading many, many, many files, and you want to do that in your own Python, this will be a huge help.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. Like, you will see a huge improvement, especially if you are processing a lot of, you know, small files, like, you know, like small tasks, actually, short-lived tasks. You will see a huge improvement if you use the async Python operator. But the deferable operator has still a lot of, I mean, you know, it's still important to use it. Because, like, typically what you do within the async Python operator, you will lose a little bit of observability, right? Because, for example, all the concurrent things, tasks that you will do within the async operator, you won't be able to see that on the Airflow UI, right? Yeah. Whereas, like, when you use the deferable operator, you see this operator as a task. And so, again, like, if you have thousands of tasks, you will see that on the Airflow UI. Whereas if you are doing 1,000 operations within your async Python operator, you won't see that on the Airflow UI. So, you know, they are definitely, it's not meant to replace deferable operators at all.
Yeah, just another tool in the toolbox. Well, we are definitely excited about that. Okay, so those two really big features coming in Airflow 3.2, I think that it's also worth noting that while not part of the release itself, there are a couple of other exciting things happening in the project kind of alongside. One is the launch of the new provider registry. We're very excited about this. Anything you want to add on that?
No, I think it's great. Honestly, I think it's great. You know, like, the idea of this registry is to provide, like, a centralized system where you can discover all the Airflow providers and their capabilities. So maybe you don't know that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you know. And when I say you know, I'm not talking about you, Kaiten. But, you know, like, there are, like, so many Airflow providers, so many tools that you can interact with. And it can be overwhelming when you start with Airflow. And so, again, like, the idea of the registry is for you to have a single place where you can discover all those providers, how you can use, again, like, you know, operators, hooks, connections, and so on for those different providers. So you will save a lot of time thanks to that. And that will be accessible from the, I think, the Airflow website.
Yeah, it will be on the Airflow website. Again, we'll throw a link to that in the show notes. I'll also just add, for those who may be familiar with Astronomer's Registry that we have provided in the past, this is the next iteration of that. So yeah, we're really excited to have this be on the open source Airflow website and have, you know, a good one-stop shop for everybody to go. I think this will also, you know, make it easier for folks to contribute new providers and get the information about them out there. So really cool step forward for the project. The other thing that is coming that is new that I think we won't spend a ton of time on in this episode, but we will definitely talk about in future episodes, is the new Common AI provider. And because this is a provider, it's not officially part of the 3.2 release, but it is coming within the same general timeframe, at least experimentally at first. But this is designed to provide a lot of functionality to make it easier to work with LLMs from Airflow, which is, of course, a huge topic and something that a lot of teams are grappling with right now. So we're pretty excited about, yeah, the new functionality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the
sure.
this provider?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's a really interesting one. It's the Common AI provider. So again, like the idea here is to help, you know, anybody to integrate AI within their workflows with Airflow. So maybe some of you are familiar with the AI SDK, but the idea of this provider is to actually provide some decorators that you can use, like the at LLM, LLM branch, agent, and so on. So a couple of decorators like that that ultimately will help you to use LLMs within your workflows and make some smart decisions with them. So I'm very excited about this this provider as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I believe experimental for now, but there will definitely be more to come in this space. The development's happening really quickly. So keep an eye out for more info there. Okay. And then, of course, this being a minor release, there's always a very long list of other features and improvements that are coming in every minor release. 3.2 is no different. We can't talk about all of them here. We are almost out of time. But just to call out a couple of them, Mark, of the quote smaller features, I'm quoting because some features are really important to different teams. So they may not be smaller to you, but outside of the kind of headlining ones that we've talked about, what are you most excited about in this release?
Yeah, I think like, I mean, we definitely talked about the most, I would say we already talked about the feature that I'm actually the most excited about. But one that I find interesting is now you will see the inlets and outlets relationships within the asset UI. So like maybe you don't know that, but if you are using assets, actually the outlets parameter, you should already know it because that's how you can tell that a task updates a given asset with the outlets parameter. But the inlets parameter, is much less used actually. And the purpose of the inlets parameter is to say that this task is consuming a given asset, okay? And now, within the asset UI, you will be able to see if you use the inlets and outlets parameters, you will be able to see that on the asset UI. You will be able to see that this task is consuming this asset and produces this asset. So it gives a better picture of actually what's going on with your assets through your tasks within the Airflow UI. So I think this one is great. And the other one that I found interesting as well is the optional marker that you get with DAG versioning now. So actually you will see like a bar or something directly on the Airflow UI. And for example, if you change the schedule of your DAGs, you will be able to see that you got a modification, like you got a change, or if you change a task, you will see that directly from the grid view where you have your different DAG runs. You will see a bar indicating that after this bar, this is like DAG version 2 and so on. Okay, so you will see a clear distinction between your different DAG runs from the grid view. So I think this is, again, very useful for, you know, observability. And so you don't have to actually click on the DAG run to see which DAG version was used. So I think this is great.
Yeah.
But again, I believe this is an optional marker. So.
Right. Those are both great ones to call out. I think for me personally, my favorite is the update to the retry exponential backoff parameter. So you can now provide an actual number to that as a multiplier. Before, I think you could just set it to true and it would use a 2.x multiplier. So every time you retry, you would wait twice as much time. Now you have more granular control over that. So if you want to wait a lot longer, or if you want to do, I don't know if it'll take like a decimal or not.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. So something to look into. But anyways, you have more control over your retry behavior with that parameter. So again, small change, but could potentially be very helpful for teams who are using that. Okay, cool. Well, I know we are about out of time. So thanks, Mark, so much for going through that. Again, we will include links to a bunch of other resources in the show notes here, including our webinar where we will cover all of this stuff and more in more depth, and you know, give some demos so you can actually see it in action in the code and all of that good stuff. But yeah, we're really excited about the 3.2 release, and we can't wait to hear what everybody uses it for.
Yep, it's going to be exciting. Thank you so much, Kaiten, for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.